B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Thursday, November 7th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily. It's the holiday season, so we present Checkpoint XP's 2019 Holiday Buying Guide. Plus, the Call of Duty League has announced their upcoming schedule for their first season. And remember, this is a travel league, so we're going to tell you where you can see some pro Call of Duty near your hometown coming up soon. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today talking about China. China has announced a bevy of new draconian gaming laws. And this is really pretty disturbing here.
It's creepy, first and foremost. Like, yeah. it's the kind of thing, like, this seems like the premise for a movie in the 90s.
Black Mirror. Or an episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah, that also. But I'm not talking about, like, this is like China's version of Footloose. No, there's no dancing allowed. It's just weird to me.
It's definitely, this is a bit alarming considering that, yes, video gaming is what we all love to do. It's our favorite pastime. And now there are government bodies in the world that are making laws that tell you, that dictate to you how much time and attention and money you can be spending with them.
Yeah, so this series of laws is aimed at curbing video game addiction. Minors under the age of 18 will be banned from online games between the hours of 10 p.m. and 8 a.m. On weekends, they can only play for 90 minutes.
Well, on weekdays.
On weekdays, sorry. Gamers between 8 and 16 can only spend the equivalent of $29 a month on microtransactions, and 16 to 18 can only spend around $60 a month.
Ooh. So
I mean, that's some strict stuff.
It's incredibly strict. And not just that, but to be able to sign up for any online game in China, it is going to require you use your actual name, your real identity.
Well, and also they have the equivalent of, like, you know, a social security number or whatever. They have identifying numbers in documents that you have to submit in order to sign up for any online gaming sort of platform or apparatus.
Right, you don't get anonymity. You are who you are.
And this also plays into the fact that China has these, like, sort of social standing scores.
Sure.
And this also,
I've forgotten about,
you forgot
those.
About
that.
Yeah.
That is actually out of a Black Mirror episode.
It is. Yeah. And so that is also a part of this whole equation as well. So
you're telling me that China watches episodes of Black Mirror and goes,
Great idea.
I
actually think that the proposal for the social points was something that China came up with first.
They did.
And then Black Mirror kind of adopted it into a what if scenario. But that's kind of getting caught up on some of the details. What I want to talk about is, you know, like, first of all, this seems really hard to administer, right? Like, it seems from an administrative standpoint, how do you ensure that your people are adhering to these kinds of rules?
Yeah,
right.
Because I've seen it more than enough times. You know, my sisters, their kids want something when they've been told no, they can't, and if they pester enough, they just give in. Fine, here, take my phone, play on my phone.
But let's think about this for a second. You know, all of gaming is facilitated by some type of technology, so there is some kind of technological assistance that would come with being able to administer this or place controls on it.
So here's the thing. Yeah, if you have to put in your national ID, basically, to be able to play this game.
Right.
In China, I believe you're required to have a photo on hand with that registry. So, I mean, from that point, you're only a facial recognition away from being able to basically manage it that way.
So,
So it sounds like it is a from the app downwards decision, right? So the app kind of shuts off. So you're not going to be, you know, China is not going to be responsible for finding violators and punishing violators. It's more like it's something that is built in, baked into the software that is being deployed in China.
Well, it would have to be unless, right. you know, Tencent and these other major companies incur the wrath of the Chinese government.
But so, we've seen the opposite. We've seen a lot of the companies that are trying to make it work in China are putting these kinds of features into their
voluntarily.
Game.
Voluntarily. Yeah. What's going to be really interesting is that there is suddenly going to be a black market for people who can hack or get around some of these, attempts to limit playtime.
Right. Now, here's my question, because it seems to me there would have to be some exceptions to this, because if that is actually across the board, what you're imposing, your esports scene is dead.
Well, yeah.
You're kneecapping
it. And, you know, for China, you know that they are a country that is really built on excellence of its people.
Right.
You know, you see a lot of very young Chinese citizens that have been trained night and day on a certain instrument, and they play it for the benefit of the state.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, I have to wonder at what point will the Chinese government recognize the validity and the value of esports, and suddenly that coin will flip where they will go, okay, we need to crack down on this. We need to make sure that, you know, people's time with it are limited, and then go to the other side of it where they now they have people who are playing video games for the state. And I just think that, you know, when they realize that value, that coin is going to flip very quickly.
Yeah, but as it stands right now, I'm not necessarily sure that they feel that way. Yes, we know gaming is huge in China. It makes just as much, if not more, money than here. We know that. We know the adoption rate of video games is higher there than it even is here. But the bigger sort of question in the bigger sort of point, like Joe was saying, is that you now will have a generation that just will not be able to have the same skill level.
They just
as
won't
everywhere
be able to keep
else
up.
In the world.
You're absolutely
because
right.
Because if you could tell, you know, if a 16-year-old kid from South Korea can play for 10 hours a day because his parents let him play 10 hours a day.
And he's been doing it since he was 9.
And he's been doing it since he was 9.
Right.
And he's one of the best in the world. That there's no way you can tell kids in China that they're going to be competitive with 90 minutes a day.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently talking about some of the new laws enacted in China that limit people under 18's playtime and exposure, and even how much they can spend on video games and mobile games. And Norris, you actually brought something up that's really important, and I want to talk about the economic factor that's at play here, because you're right. China has been a huge growth market for video games in the last 5 years. So what happens now where a certain section of the population is limited in how much they can spend with your product? Does that end up impacting the bottom line of video game companies who are trying to get their product into the country?
I think there's no way that it doesn't. And when you have, you know, Gen Zers who are some of the most voracious consumers of digital goods, there's no way that if you cap how much they can spend and cap how much time they spend in the game, that doesn't affect the bottom line of all these companies. Because what you're going to have now essentially is that China, it makes like $40 billion or something like that a year for the gaming industry, the vast majority of that coming through microtransactions. If everybody is capped at $60, or the biggest market of it is capped at $60.
Yeah, I mean, when
you now have a ceiling on how much you can earn,
and when you're banking on one or two or, you know, a dozen whales in your audience floating the economic prospects of your game, I can see that being really, really disruptive. So what you guys, the picture that you guys have painted for me here is, I think, so disturbing, because there are so few reasons I can find that it couldn't happen here, that it couldn't happen here in the United States. It would take a willingness of the public, so a will, you know, enough people getting behind the notion that video games are predatory or negative in some form or fashion and have a negative impact on the overall population playing them. And clearly, the technology is there to facilitate something like this.
I think you have one reason why it can't happen, and that's the Constitution.
I would hope so.
And the government's ability to be able to dictate dictate what people do with their free time and their money, right? So because we are not a, you know, a nation state that has the same level of security and surveillance as China, would say surveillance is the word I was looking for, as China, no matter what, we have all this technology, that kind of doesn't matter. It only matters if en masse parents and Congress came together and said, we want something that can stop the console itself.
But don't
when
you,
it happens.
But don't you think an argument out there like video game addiction, it provides a mighty compelling argument to be able to put something like this in place? The concern here is that China does it, and it looks really good on them, and then other countries start looking like, oh, maybe the video games really are some kind of
bigger, deeper problem. Not necessarily sure that the American populace wants to imitate anything coming out of China just as a as the feeling of a nation. I also think that there are a lot of tech companies that wouldn't want to put something like this in their product, because I think they see the slippery slope that it presents as well. But the biggest thing that I say is I think that the lobbies, the tech lobbies and the tech companies know how much money it is to be made out there from the younger generations, and there is no way that they wouldn't get involved with Congress immediately and say, you cannot let this happen.
But I mean, I will say this. I think there are a lot of parents out there who, if they could say, like, oh, it's not me saying you can't play the video games anymore. It's that's how the game's made. You only get 2 hours.
Grow a spine, mom and dad.
Yeah, but that's not what the state of America is right now. A lot of people would like that.
And yeah, and I can see a big push to allow for more parental controls, a la what China is doing, to be placed into the software of the games themselves. But listen, we want to hear from you. What's your take on this? Do you think that, you know, China is being way too strict on this? Are these laws draconian and ridiculous? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to take a deep look at the Call of Duty League schedule. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we've got Checkpoint XP's holiday buying guide. What do you want to buy for the gamer in your life? Well, we can help you with that. Stick around. That's ad next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Checkpoint XP's holiday buying guide.
Yeah.
If you've got a gamer in your life and you're not quite sure what to get them, well, just hang out and you'll probably get some pretty good gift ideas.
I'm sure this decision won't haunt you forever.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the heartbeat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage and 103.9 in Marshall, as well as 1250 ESPN San Antonio and the Zone 1150. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at BPodStudios.com. For more great listening options like Nerd Radio and Geek Culture Congress, two shows you can find streaming live over at our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Subscribe to their podcast over at bpodstudios.com. The place to be for podcast discovery. It is almost the holidays. Black Friday is like right around the corner. So we thought we would kind of take a look inside, you know, some of the more recent releases in gaming and give you guys a bit of a holiday buying guide to help you decide some gifts for the gamer in your life. So I thought, you know, maybe it might be the right idea to kind of go, you know, like category by category.
Yeah,
like,
that makes sense.
By platform.
Yeah, by platform almost.
So why don't we start off with, you know, some big game releases that might be good for someone who has multiple systems, right?
Or who has anything.
Yeah, who has anything,
you can get it
has all the stuff. Yeah, exactly.
It is worth noting real quick, though, that if you are trying to buy something for the gamer in your life, go ahead and ask them what system they have, what platform they
That's
have,
important.
Because there is nothing worse than getting a game for the wrong platform.
That is very true. So if you have a gamer in your life that is a hardcore gamer, they've got a PC, they've got a, you know,
a console of some
maybe both a PlayStation and an Xbox.
That's right.
What are some games that have come out for, you know, across multiple platforms that would be good?
Well, obviously, if they don't have it, I would suggest the latest Call of Duty installment, Modern Warfare. It's a game that I'm enjoying quite a bit. But it is also a game that everybody and their dang old mama will be playing, especially in the holiday season. So if they don't have it already, I definitely think, and if they are of age and of proper maturity level to play a game, this is a very violent game, not Mortal Kombat violent,
right,
but violent. I would definitely say, yeah, the new Call of Duty is something to think about.
What age demographic would you give for Call of Duty?
Honestly, I would say, you know, older high schooler.
Yeah, like 16, 17 and up.
Okay. Older high schooler.
Yeah. So 17 with parental guidance and up.
You know your kid.
Yeah, exactly. You know your kid. You know their maturity level. For me, I think I'm going to toss out here a suggestion of a game that, you know, I'm currently working my way through, but it came out for all of the different systems a couple of weeks back, and that's The Outer Worlds from Obsidian Entertainment, the creators of Fallout New Vegas. If you like space sci-fi, if you like Mass Effect, if you like
Firefly.
Fallout, if you like Firefly, this is a great game for you. It's got a lot of personality. It's not maybe as violent as maybe a Call of Duty is.
No, I wouldn't say so.
I would say that, you know, but it does
there
contain...
definitely is combat.
There is combat, there's shooting, there is some level of violence, but it's not quite as visceral as maybe your Call of Duties are.
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and throw on Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
You would.
No.
I have to.
Stop it.
I mean, if they want something that kind of has some of those elements, but again, it's Star Wars. How violent can it really be when it's Star Wars?
I got a better one. Get them. First of all, they already have Monster Hunter. Then you can get Iceborne, the new DLC, right?
That's right.
But if they don't, get a Monster Hunter on all platforms. Safe bet they'll be playing it forever.
All right, fair enough. Let's move on to PlayStation 4. Let's kind of narrow this down a little bit, because there are some PlayStation 4 exclusives that I think are highly recommendable. Some of them are a little bit old, but I think the latest one that, of course, is going to get a glowing recommendation from everyone here is going to be Death Stranding.
Yeah,
that's
if
a big
your
one.
Kid's
Although
an art nerd.
I think that is getting a PC release at some point.
In the summer.
In the summer.
That's right. But right now, it's exclusive for PlayStation 4. If they're a fan of Hideo Kojima or any of the Metal Gear Solid games, this might be a good direction to go in. Yes, very weird, very kind of art house. Mm-hmm. So if they like things that are, you know, weird and art house, that's another good direction to go in.
If they're under the age of 16, though, I probably would not.
Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
No.
Yeah. Another thing worth mentioning on the PS4, that it's had some of the all-time classics over the past couple of years. So, I mean, these are ones that you probably want to make sure they don't already have, but games like God of War, Spider-Man,
yes,
those are always big wins. And PS4 controllers are also on sale right now. I will say this, if they don't have a PS4 and want one, I wouldn't invest in a system right
now.
Not now.
No. This is not... I don't think that this is the holiday year of systems.
No.
I definitely think concentrate on games.
I will say this.
What?
Just to pivot just a little bit, it's the year of one system, and that's the Nintendo Switch.
You're absolutely right. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently running down the Checkpoint XP 2019 Holiday Buying Guide. If there's, you know, you've got a gamer in your life and you're looking to pick up some gifts for them for the holiday season, we're going to go through what we recommend. And as Norris had just mentioned, we got to talk about the Switch, because the Switch obviously has made a huge impact in the couple of years that it's been on the market. it, but there are some really great things happening for the Switch, including the Switch Lite, $200.
That's right.
The Joy-Cons don't disconnect. And
it's a handheld, basically.
It is a handheld. It's got slightly better battery life. Mm-hmm. So definitely something to consider, especially if maybe the Switch that you bought is getting a little grungy and stuff like that. So
I would wait, though, if they want the actual Switch, I'd wait on that one because there's rumors of a Pro version of the console coming out next year. You don't want to get the Switch and then there's a better version of it out next year. That doesn't feel good.
Absolutely. And then, of course, you've got classics like Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
But you also got Pokemon. Pokemon is coming out. More Pokemon.
Doesn't have the World Dex, man. I don't know how I feel about it anymore. But also in the same wheelhouse as Breath of the Wild, Legend of Zelda: Link's Awakening has come out. Joe, you recently played through that. What did you think of it?
It's really good. If you liked the Game Boy game, it's a very faithful recreation of it that looks very beautiful and sounds very beautiful. And plus, over the holiday season, you'll probably be able to get it cheaper than that $60 that it usually costs.
Fair enough.
Good time to get in.
All right. Let's take a look at the other big console that's out on the market. Xbox. Yes, it's a distant third, but you know what? They're still a part of this conversation as well. Mm-hmm. They've got some pretty good exclusives. Gears 5.
That's right.
I keep hearing really good things about Gears 5.
Yeah, if you're, you know, the gamer in your life or your kid is really big on Xbox, you know they probably brought up Gears of War 5.
Yes.
If they don't have it already, it's really the killer app still for Xbox right now. It's exclusive. It's the only place you could get it. Also, Game Pass.
Game Pass is a big deal, man. A lot of people picked up Game Pass just for the Outer Worlds.
That's true, but Game Pass is still, in my opinion, one of the best values out there. It's a subscription service. You're able to play a litany of games. A lot of them come out sometimes first for Game Pass, or you're getting a lot of games for your value. I think they got a deal going on for about $20.
Steam's also got a sale going on. Valve's enormously popular software launcher and
places like Walmart and Myers, you can pick up a Steam gift card.
That's right. Boom. Yes. Yeah. Perfect. That's super easy right there. And then just a couple of things probably not to get. As Joe had noted, a new PS4 or Xbox probably shouldn't be in the cards because we're so close to the release of a brand new system. Don't want you have to go out and buy, you know, consoles back to back because that can be a little bit expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Do not get WWE 2K20 under any circumstances. This game has been a nightmare and a mess. WWE 2K19 will do just as well. And I don't know. Do you guys have anything else that you want to throw out there?
Anthem.
Anthem. Don't get Anthem.
Don't get Anthem.
All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. What did you think of our 2019 holiday buying guide? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, the Call of Duty League has released their schedule. And remember, their very first season is also a travel season. Do you have some Call of Duty, some professional Call of Duty headed to your hometown? We're going to tell you next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
The Call of Duty League schedule has been finalized and released. And remember, their first season is a travel season. So you might have some pro Call of Duty headed to your backyard pretty soon. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Central Texas, KZRI and KTON in Waco, Texas, as well as ESPN 97.5 in Houston. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP, Low Team Damage, and The Other Identity. Plus, we've got a brand new shirt and hoodie that's available for a limited time this fall and holiday season. Come check it out over at checkpointxp.com/shop. The Call of Duty League has finally put out its schedule for its first season. It is a travel season, which means that a lot of you guys are going to have pro Call of Duty headed straight to your backyard. And I think that this is really interesting because it seems like every city at least gets two turns to host a homestand weekend.
That's right. Same format as the OWL.
Exactly. And I think that this is really, really smart.
So, yeah, things are going to kick off with the launch weekend tournament. That's in Minnesota, January 24th to the 26th. All 12 teams will be on hand to compete for that opening weekend, which I really, really like.
I really enjoy that, too, because one of our big criticisms of the Overwatch League and their home away schedule is that certain teams wouldn't be playing all the way until like week four, I believe. It's the Atlanta Reign doesn't play until the fourth week of the season, which almost never happens in a traditional sport.
Right.
But with the Call of Duty League, you're going to have an opening tournament taking place in Minnesota, of which every team is present. It gives people a chance to really get introduced to these teams and kind of pick a favorite if you're in a place where you don't have a team natively. I think this is a really smart move from Call of Duty.
And one of the smart things that they're doing kind of early on in the season is there's a couple of bye weeks built in for all teams in the early parts of the season. Like from week one to week two, there's a week separate. So January 24th is the first week, and then February 8th is the second week. And that's because you're going to be going Minnesota to London to Atlanta to Paris in the first 4 weeks. So there is a lot of travel happening in those first 4 weeks. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not one of those people who thinks like, oh, my God, these players are just going to burn out immediately. But two oceanic or transatlantic flights in the span of 4 weeks, I do feel like that would be pretty exhausting.
That is a lot. And I mean, I really do have to feel for the players in that kind of, you know, because that kind of travel is exhausting.
Yes.
We've done that. You know, we haven't done over the Atlantic, but we have done very long flights out to the West Coast. And yeah, it can take, you know, suck up half your day. You get there, you're exhausted. So yeah, I do think that this is going to end up affecting performance. But, you know, to the degree of which it does remains to be seen.
So the good news is basically after that third week there, it settles in and you have matches going on every weekend. I want to get your guys' take on this. So Los Angeles has two teams being represented there. Mm-hmm. So they have to share their homestand weekend.
That's right.
What do you guys think about that?
I think that's perfect. Because I think right now, because I know you have two LA teams in the Overwatch League that don't have the same homestand weekend.
Right.
But at the same time, I think those two teams have also carved out very different identities and fan bases. And I think this is smart because you don't know if those teams have carved out fan bases and identities
yet. This is their chance to do it.
This is their chance to do it.
You build this in. It's the Battle of LA, man. I think that, honestly, that they probably have more of a push because of that than the other teams do at their homestands. Like, that's a draw that nobody else gets to claim.
I mean, that's fair. I look at it, if I were those teams, I don't know that I'd want to have to share with my other LA counterpart. I feel like I would want to get to have my own weekend.
Well, how the Lakers and the Clippers feel about sharing a stadium up until next season.
I mean, fair enough. We also have New York hosting their homestand weekend March 14th. And I just got to say, I feel like New York should put an ultimatum on the line that whoever they beat, they get to take their logo.
Get to read. Yeah. have to use New York's logo for that week.
Yeah. I feel like if New York beats you, you have to give them your logo.
I'd also like to point out, too, that when Minnesota's hosting here, that they're also going to be holding the season's first Call of Duty Challengers Open, where amateur players from around the world get to compete in an open bracket tournament format.
Yeah.
I really like that. That's really cool.
Well, we've talked before about the need for, you know, it can't just be people show up and watch a couple of matches and then leave. What other kinds of value can you add on? And we've seen like what Houston did with the homestand weekend this year.
Well, Dallas.
I'm sorry, Dallas. What they do at their homestand weekend this year, it's more of a convention than it is, you know,
just
a
showing
sporting
up for
event.
The game.
Yeah.
Well, and you got to think that the logistics, you know, the bigger logistics here have been worked. They've got to have been worked out, right?
Yeah.
You know, because if you're booking that many flights and there's that many moving pieces, I'm sure that, you know, not everyone who's having to take those transatlantic flights are going to be used in the next week. It's probably going to be the week after that they get put in, or, you know, that their team ends up playing. So yeah. I do think that, you know, or at least I would hope that the logistics of trying to avoid burnout are at least in play here.
Well, I think where we see that the most is actually in how it works from the first to the second split.
Okay.
So we get the midseason weekend. That'll be after all 11 cities have hosted, and then we don't have the date on that one yet. However, after that, it kind of restarts where the teams all get to host for their second time in the summer split. We see it kind of happening in not exactly the same order, but almost the same order. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason for that is they're trying to spread out their first and second homestand weekends as
yes.
far as possible. They don't want to have, again, like you say, they don't want there to be fan burnout. If we just had our team here playing last week, do we want to see them again? Ideally, eventually.
You want to get to that point.
You want people craving it every weekend, but I don't think we're there quite yet.
I kind of have to ask about the elephant in the room here, because
okay.
whether we're talking about Call of Duty League or whether we're talking about Overwatch League, the fundamental question still remains. Is there enough interest or enthusiasm or fandom around esports to support a local team staying in their local city and then doing home and away games? Is there enough people to come out and watch live esports happening on a week over week basis that will be able to support this kind of road schedule?
I think that's why you're seeing sort of quote unquote what I like to call the homestand model.
Absolutely.
As opposed to True Blue.
This is
go to Chicago. Stay in Chicago,
right.
And only travel when you need to.
This is sort of the first step in that
yes.
sort of in that path. And I'm wondering how many years we're going to have to put up with homestanding before we're going to get an official, like, your team is here, my team is here, and we're doing home and away
games.
Well,
I also think by just the very nature of how quickly esports can go, that the homestand model may just be the model that you use, because how can you justify, you know, a static physical location for a 40 minutes of play? I don't think you can.
That's the thing, is if we're going to see more like what traditional sports use, we're going to need these things to go longer. If you're like, take League of Legends, for example, a game takes about 40 minutes to play usually. So if you want to have it that we're playing League of Legends the way you watch the NFL, it's got to be a best out of five every week.
That's how
you have to play. And then you only play them that one time.
And Norris, to your point, I think Philadelphia is seeing that same problem, but going the exact opposite way. They're betting big on having people coming in there week over week. But listen, we want to hear from you. If you had esports, live esports to watch week over week, would you? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of episodes, podcasts, and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Brand management by Chad Callahan. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.